My guest today is The French Semester. We're going to start by playing a track from their album Open Letter to the Disappeared, and then we'll get into some interview and some live stuff, so stick around. This is Is Good on killradio.org. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guest today is the band The French Semester. Let me get all these lines up and we'll get started. Hey guys, how's it going?
Good.
Great.
Thanks.
Thanks for coming
in. Excellent.
And why don't we just start with the basics, sort of go around the room, tell me who you are and what you bring to The French Semester.
I'm Brian Sullivan. I'm keys and percussion and charisma.
Riaz Tijani. I do guitar, vocals, and I guess the songs, and Gravitas.
Just Gil, that's my name, and I play bass.
No charisma or Gravitas? Or?
They pretty much cover
He's
all
He's versatile.
The
yeah.
And a lot of love.
Fills in where we... Yeah, love, that's true.
X-factor.
Pragmatism, rationale.
Yeah, the Western canon.
It's a mystery.
So tell me a little bit about how this group formed. Did it start with one person who found people to play with, or did you guys all suddenly find yourselves, you know, jamming out together and the band miraculously appeared? How did that work?
Dang, man. It was a little of everything. Actually, Brian and I have known each other since we were about 5 years old, so technically it starts then. We used to sing songs on, you know, when we were kids, just Beatles songs and just childish stuff. Many years, and always talked about doing a band, and we just got it started about a year ago. Actually playing together. I've been writing songs in other bands and whatnot. And Gil, we had the good fortune of meeting about 9 months ago through another friend of ours. And He's been a godsend too on the bass, the thunder stick.
That's your third thing. You play bass and you're a godsend.
Yeah.
That's what it is. Which is that. A lot of responsibility.
The godfather of the band.
Exactly.
Tell me about sort of the structure of the band. Is there one person who brings in the majority of the songs, and then you guys sort of work it out from that, or do you all collaborate on the writing?
Yeah, Riaz writes all the songs, and normally what he'll do, at least this is where I come in, is he'll pass a CD to me of his solo kind of home recordings, 4-track, and then I'll learn them and work out my parts, and then the rest is improv. And
then Gil's bass.
Yeah, I pretty much just throw in some bass, throw in whatever fits, right?
He's got good intuition for that stuff.
So by the time the song gets to you, are you ever in the position of like, what were you guys doing? How much is to work with this? Or do you all kind of understand each other's way of music, making music well enough so that it generally clicks?
I think by the time the song gets to Brian and I, that when we perform it together, practice it together, it actually stands out either being really good or not good. Mm-hmm. And at that point, then we decide, well, we'll just move on.
Mm-hmm. So you guys already have sort of a sense of what a French Semester song is supposed to be like, even before it's been completed.
Sort of a skeleton that I bring, and then we know sort of what organs and bits are needed, and then these guys sort of assemble them together, really. And we can tell by looking at it at the end if it's going to walk or if it's not.
Or if you're going to pretend it was somebody else's song.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, were you guys ready to jump into a live song?
I think so.
Yeah.
What would you like to play first?
We're going to do Arrowheadings.
All right. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guest is the French Semester. Check it out.
1, 2, 3, 4. Wrecking balls, we make doorways, we go in them sideways, near the ocean, only throwing stones right in the desert and around, and the world is round, the boxes of the brain are open to a home away from home, you know, so lots, like a student protest uprising. The massage. They were trafficking in bodies and parts. We laugh out loud. We fight in the ends. We say thoughts so. Well, no one's in the kitchen, in the room, the bedroom. We were deserts and oceans and boxes and doorways. Flew away from the towns that gave us a lot. We were arrow-heading, circumscribed the line around our shoes.
Listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guest is the French Semester. Awesome start to the show, guys. the thing that stands out, you know, immediately is, you know, the two of you sing with one voice. I mean, that can only come from having, you know, sung together for a really long time. Tell me about that. I mean, like, harmony is something that you don't hear quite as much of as you hear it more in three-piece bands. Nowadays, it seems to be coming back a little bit, but there definitely seemed to be a long period where harmony was just thrown out the window. How important is that to the French semester? Like, is that an element of a lot of your music, and is it something you worked on?
It's definitely huge. As far as, we didn't really actually work on it or deliberate on it. It just sort of happened, and I think, you know, it's huge because I write songs, but I'm definitely not a crooner, and so from the beginning, it needs a thickening. And Brian and I, like I said, you know, we grew up together and listening to the same stuff. In a way, we do have kind of the same voice, or it's coming from the same place. So even if the song is already written, it's not actually, you know, the song until he adds his voice, and that's it.
And then Brian, you kind of probably by now you kind of have an intuition as to, you know, when it would be appropriate for harmony to come in, and because sometimes with bands that use harmony, it's like they don't give the guy a break too. Like you need to like time
it's
it
hard.
Right.
It's really hard because I have the guys, you know, all looking at me in the practice space while I'm trying to do that. But it helps. I mean, Riaz kind of knows, too, where those spots are in the songs. So most of the time he'll tell me, you know, let's do it here. And every now and then I'll chip in and throw, you know, add something.
I noticed that, like, a lot of our influences have singers that have harmonies in them. So, like, what we listen to is a big factor in, like, what comes out in the songs and stuff. So.
Have you guys stuck with a lot of the music that you listened to when you were younger, you know, that's influenced your music now, or has your sort of taste in music changed drastically?
Well, I would say on my part, it's you know, come full circle back to that. You know, it's not been consistently that, but, you know, we depart from those things, and here we are, and those, you know, those feel good, and those feel familiar, and it's kind of, it's a good time to revisit all that, you know, like the Birds, you know, the Beatles, the Who, that stuff. And I don't know. What about you guys?
Yeah, well, we're huge fans of 60s music. And so part of it's from that.
We weren't kids in the 60s, so we're not that old. We just grew up on that stuff.
Right, right. So it was your parents being nostalgic, probably, that got you into the music.
You know, and I wanted to say about that, too. You know, we're all from other parts of the world besides America, and there's something about, I mean, my parents came from India, but, you know, they grew up in India listening to the Beatles. You know, I'm sure they heard the Birds and this kind of stuff. So I like to I think of it in a strange way of, you know, them hearing that in their home countries, coming here, and in a strange way, that was their notion of American culture. It seeped into us, and we kind of, I don't know if you guys have
it
a similar
out in the French semester.
Yeah, but it's almost like it's tied into that sort of, I don't know, my immigrant experience a little bit.
Right, music coming from all over, and definitely, yeah. Let's talk about the lyrical content a little bit of what you guys are doing. What do you like to sing about? Are there certain themes that you come back to a lot?
Definitely, you know, personal life. But it's never literal, you know. It's never like, you know, she said this and I did this and all that. You know, it's there's a kind of, I guess the word is gestalt, but it's basically just experience. You know, it's like whatever's going on in the moment. So, you know, I've had times in my life where there's an issue going on with a relationship, you know, a romantic relationship. But I'm also located in, like, I don't know, Paris, France, or someplace else. Just the way my life has gone, I've been in other places, and so it's negotiating both the personal relationship and then these weird global issue, you know, things. So that's all in there. I don't know. What do you guys feel?
Definitely. Well, something just I noticed from, you know, having Riaz pass the songs down to me is that I noticed home came up a lot in a lot of the songs. So I mentioned that to him, and probably from your traveling, I'm sure part of it. But it's, you know, what else? The ocean comes up often. We grew up, all of us, in a beach city around here.
That's the thing. Like people who come from other areas or people that move around a lot, they, you know, when they sing about home, you know, the assumption is that there's one place that's home, but any place that you live for, like, any kind of extended period of time becomes your home. So, like, I'm sure, you know, Riaz, you probably have homes, you know, places that you think of as homes all over the place, mm-hmm. you know, and it's not good enough to just go back to where you were born. You're still always going to miss all those other homes. And so you're sort of wherever you are, you know, that's where you belong at that time, but you're always away from home no matter where you are.
That's so true, you know. It wouldn't be an interesting topic if that weren't the case, you know. It's not just here and there. And I think it's maybe the same for these guys. They, you know, we all come from different places. Brian, you're pretty much at home in different towns in Mexico, small little mining towns.
Sometimes.
Gil, you know, you come from, your parents came from Vietnam, and this guy, you know, didn't have...
came from a Navy ship in San Diego.
And what about your citizenship?
Oh, yeah, well, still working on that.
Okay. I mean,
government agencies listening right now. Expedited.
Oh, I don't think there's any government agencies listening to this show. Except the ones that are looking at my FBI file. Well, all right, before the INS comes cracking down the door, why don't we go back to the CD? First of all, where can people get Open Letter to the Disappeared?
It'll be on iTunes. It's already on CD Baby now. On our label's in Europe, so already in Germany and places there's online distributors. Amazon in Germany has it already. So it's kind of little by little creeping into the public, you know, spotlight.
What track should we listen to?
Well, what do you guys think? Any preference?
Subway.
Can we do United Nations?
That's very telling.
Yeah.
That's good. All right, there we go. And thanks again for numbering the tracks.
It's
very cool of you. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guess is the French semester. Stick around. We'll be right back. Back on Is Good on killradio.org, hanging out with the French semester. What's the best place to go for like the most up-to-date information on what you guys are doing?
The MySpace right now, myspace.com/the French semester. We're gonna have a
We're going to have a website up and running probably middle of this month by the time the album comes out. So.
TheFrenchSemester.org.
And .com.
Yeah. Nice. What's the significance of the band's name?
Brian thought of it.
Yeah, I came up with it. One of the reasons I like the way it sounded, but the deeper meaning is that, Riaz spent like years in Paris, and I was just thinking about, he writes the songs, and I'm sure it's influenced from his time there. And but then also we talked about it before putting it out and just figured it was perfect. And Riaz noticed it's one of the only band names that he can think of that what is time and place?
Yeah, it's got both, a time referent and a space referent.
Just right.
That was kind of, I don't know what that's supposed to mean, actually. Now. It keeps us grounded, I guess.
But, it comes back to that theme that, if you had been in one place the whole time, especially if you're in a place like Los Angeles, which is so industry-focused,
right.
That would affect the way you learned how to write songs and, the kind of songs that you chose to write and continue to write.
Yeah, I think that's right. And I think something about, encounter with the world at large that's sort of really helpful to us, I think, to all of us. So.
Yeah, definitely. Now, what about the first time you guys sort of got up on stage and said, hello, we're the French Semester. This is what we do. Was that, did you guys feel really prepared for that? Or was that kind of a nerve-wracking experience to see, how this band was going to work?
What do you think, man?
Thoughts? This is yours.
Well, I've been in bands before, but not really in this role. So there was a little bit of confidence and a little bit of anxiety in both. But, having these guys up there with me, it still happens every time, performers, they'll never stop being a little anxious, but it's who you're up there with that makes a huge difference. And I think, having these guys.
Yeah,
definitely.
That's true. There's a lot of chemistry among us.
Between us, yeah. We're more like friends, that happen to play in a band.
Right.
It feels like, at least.
Right.
For now.
Right.
Once the mics are off,
give us an hour.
Yeah. Now, what makes for a really good, you guys have had an opportunity to play a lot since you started. It seems like I see you guys online playing here and there. And what, in your estimation, makes for a really good live performance? Do you base it on how well you guys felt about what you did on stage, or do you base it on the audience reaction or the technical setup of the venue, or?
That's a good question. We're just starting to come, understand that those kind of things all together. But basically, we realize more and more lately that the crowd really gives us a huge boost. It's like another little volume knob on the amp. It's like crowd, and that's huge. So playing our perfect set to an empty room is not nearly as good as playing a flawed set to 30, 40, 50, a million of our of our friends. So that's how I feel.
Yeah. That would be a fire hazard, I think.
A million. Yeah. Right.
All right, why don't we jump into another live song?
Cool, man. I guess on that note, this song's called We'll March Again, and it's kind of pretty much now about us, I guess. We'll March Again.
My guess is the French Semester. You're listening to Is Good.
Yeah.
Are ever wasted, and to withstand was part of the plan. I'll execute on Monday. Hey, and whiter the moon is a brighter day till we mention the highways and slide past the guards fighting over hot meals and because who ever thought they were the monkeys singing a pop song later to be called. Sewing machine, you were a costume maker, homemaker, and hide behind her then. We'll march again in pairs into a headwind, and we'll think about what we're doing here. We'll think about the forest, and the wine of the tree. The heaviest snow, so remember the high times, how you love the ocean lines, tall pines of a thousand years ago. How do you reconcile a big dream floating small? small stream, seemingly uphill. How do you reconcile a big dream floating a small stream, seemingly uphill? One.
Listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guest is The French Semester. Another great song, guys. And
Thank you. You know,
you mentioned there's this sort of this divide between performing live and recording. Did you guys sort of start out, I guess, as recording artists and then added the live element? I mean, for a band that's only been really in operation for like a year, year and a half, it's a little unusual to have a, you know, 15-track full-length album. Usually you get like a couple of 3-song demo EPs and so forth. So tell me about that process of being recording artists first.
Well, that's a pretty good observation, I guess, because I record demos on my own and bring it to these guys. So that the recording, it starts with recording, you know, like you said.
It's pretty prolific of you.
Oh, thanks, man.
It makes it easy.
Yeah, it makes it a lot easier.
Anyway, but yeah, so, and those songs come to me relatively fast, I guess. So, as far as having, you know, an album out already, it's almost like we have to, cause otherwise the pipeline will get clogged and you'll
have all these recorded songs and nothing to do with them.
Yeah, like, seriously. Yeah. And it, in a strange way, at least for me, I start to feel anxious when it starts to back up a lot. Cause it feels like, you know, it's not going somewhere and, you know, the dam's going to overflow, all these other metaphors I can throw out there. But,
And did the songs continue to come? I mean, even after you do an official release of this, I mean, you guys keep writing constantly. And so, yeah. I mean, is there another album already in the works?
We have enough new songs since recording that for at least another full length. So it's, I mean, quality is a different issue, but quantity is there, you know?
Let's talk a little bit about how each of you found sort of your individual instruments and, you know, how you ended up doing this in this band instead of another thing. Like Brian, you're doing percussion and keys. How did you end up finding those as your instruments?
Well, these guys always say that I have the fastest learning curve because I'd never really played an instrument before. Like, I took piano lessons as a kid, but not enough to really, I don't know, for any long-term effect. And so the guys pretty much taught me what to play and when. And then the percussion I sort of just worked out on my own. And just a feel for it. And I think it kind of came naturally because, I mean, everyone seems to like it in the band. I don't know about the fans. But
so you basically learned how to play these instruments within the context of the French Semester?
Yeah, I think just listening to a lot of music helps too because I kind of play it how I hear it in what I like.
I should say about that too. It's things have evolved, but we used to think of Brian really as like this hybrid figure in the band, as like part member and part fan. And so we looked to him for like, you know, a lot of just his gut reaction to the song, and we'd be like, okay, that's good, you know, we're gonna go with that. And so his sort of intuition for just as a listener,
it's very instinctual.
Yeah, wouldn't you say?
It's so important. I mean, you know, you guys have to be fans of your music. Yeah. I mean, you see it happen a lot in bands who are just making music for their fans and forgetting that they are actually the first fans they need to impress. You know, they're trying to impress a label or something like that, you know?
Right, and then later on when it comes to performing, if you're having that kind of fun, it shows, and if it doesn't, it doesn't.
Yeah, the audience can smell the lack of enthusiasm. Yeah.
It's true. Among other things.
Yeah. And Riaz, what about you, man? What came first? Was it playing instrument or singing?
I guess playing instruments, yeah. I mean, I started on guitar, just fooling around. I'm not trained in any real way, but I played bass in high school in some bands. And then songwriting was second, and then having to deliver the song somewhere to someone forced the issue of singing. So,
and did you just sort of open up your throat and out came this voice, or is this something you had to work on for a while to sort of get it to where it is now?
I'm afraid to say that because I don't know where it is now, but you know, yeah.
Have you seen it evolve at any rate?
Yeah, for sure that, because, well, this is more information than people need, but I have like asthma and allergies and some other things. So like just singing is a way of breathing. And so like, if you have problems with the one, it's not going to be easy to do the other. And, just over time, you just get stronger. So I actually would say that to anyone out there who wants to sing. I would say just do it now and, you know, check yourself in 3 years and you'll be better probably. So.
And what about the bass?
Yeah, I've been playing bass for, I don't know, 15 years probably.
15 years?
Yeah, I think
so. So it's always been my instrument.
I don't think I've ever... Oh, I played guitar for a couple of years and I just realized that this is my instrument, and when I listen to CDs, like listening to the bass is a big factor, you know. Like now I'm coming back to bands like Joy Division, and which have really good bass. It's really straightforward.
I was actually gonna ask you about this. I had a band in here recently, and I commented that the bass player was doing had a very Peter Hook way about her, because you know he's sort of known for playing bass like a lead guitar as opposed to like a backup instrument. Do you have a sort of philosophy for the way you like to play bass?
I do. I notice when I see other bands nowadays, like or over time, just like the style of bass playing has been, you know, not what I've been doing, and like I don't know. Part of it is like I listen to, you know, music that's very guitar oriented and very, you know, rock oriented. And like you hear the parts, and just to come up with different bass lines is like a challenge, you know. So like when I hear these bands, and it's just interesting how, you know, people develop different styles from different groups and stuff.
Do you think if you were to, you know, end up playing bass in another band, that people would be able to pick it out as your way of playing bass in that band?
I would hope so.
Yeah, I would hope so.
Yeah, but you're not allowed to, yeah.
Yeah.
Let's listen to another track from the CD. What do you guys recommend?
Well, you want to give them the Blue Distance?
It's up to you.
Yeah? Sure. Yeah, can you play the first one?
Yeah. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guest is The French Semester. myspace.com/TheFrenchSemester. Stick around. We'll be right back with some more interview and live performance.
Thank you.
And we're back on Is Good on killradio.org, hanging out with the French Semester. And we're just talking about genres and styles and stuff like that. And, you know, you guys have been sort of working on this French Semester sound for a while. And where do you see it? Do you see it going in any particular direction? Like, is the material changing as you continue to write new stuff? Are you branching out into different instrumentation or different styles of lyricism, things like that?
Oh, man, it's a tough one. All I can feel is a little bit of, and on my part at least, a little bit more of a kind of a bluesy thing coming into it. And I don't know why that is, maybe just from playing with these guys more and kind of, I don't know what that is, but it feels like it's coming from somewhere else. As far as the songwriting, it's kind of all over the place. Still very much pop. I don't think we'll ever get away from like the, you know, the 3-4 chord pop song. And it's important to me. I feel like it's a way of communicating with other people that they can readily sort of accept or grab onto if it's, you know, a little catchy hook or something like that. I'm not going to shy away from that in the direction of like art rock, just to be sort of more cerebral on our side and then have no one over there, you know, be able to kind of receive it. So that's just how I feel. So,
well, along those lines, I mean, do you have a sense of sort of what you want your audience to get from your music? Like when you think about where a song is going to land, do you have an image in your head of somebody rocking out to it at a venue, or someone listening to it in their car and going, you know what, this song means something to me? Or what sort of images come to mind when you think about how your audience receives your songs?
Yeah, for me, kind of both, actually, exactly that. Like, you know, phase one, wow, that's, you know, I can't get that out of my head, or, you know, it's still with me. And phase two, like, and what did he say right there? That's kind of weird, and maybe it means something. Let's find out, you know. So,
you guys ready for another live song?
Sure.
So all these songs that we're doing live here today, are they songs that are also on the album?
The first one was Arrow Headings, track 3. Second one was We'll March Again, look for it in 6 months.
And okay, then, cool.
This one, Master Plan, is on the album.
Awesome. All right, whenever you're ready.
Cool, man.
I got a lot of things, living a life of space.
not free. No, not free. But in another way, we were so free. Killing and eating what we see. Buried friends we've known for weeks. There's something around. It's not about winning. It's about beginning to plan. There's something around. It's not about winning. It's about beginning to plan.
It's interesting. Hey, we were talking about how, you know, you sort of picture a tune sort of getting caught in someone's head, and then you followed it with that song, which is particularly catchy, I think. You know, that's the kind of song that can be very infectious. So very cool. My guess is the French semester, myspace.com/thefrenchsemester. We kind of touched on it a little bit before, this idea of, you know, appealing to a crowd of 40 people versus a larger crowd. Is there a kind of venue that you think is best suited for what you guys like to do in a live performance, like a small coffee shop versus, you know, rock stadium or something?
Staples Center. We were really happy with the Silver Lake Lounge and Spaceland, those two. I mean, sound is great there, obviously. Just the right size, the kind of atmosphere is pretty friendly, amenable.
But we wouldn't be adverse to playing bigger events.
That's true, yeah. Staples Center?
Like the Staples Center.
No. Don't get us wrong. What do you think, man? What's your favorite?
Yeah, same. Yeah, we like those spots. Kind of wish there was like another scene, though, like another place to play. Downtown's got some places that we like too.
Downtown's definitely opening up as sort of an alternative to the Silver Lake scene. Like, it's still all kind of on the east side of LA, you know? It's kind of hard to break out, and because they have some good venues over in like the Santa Monica area, but it's a different scene and a different vibe. I mean, you look at a place like Temple Bar stuff, you know, that's like, it's good what they have, but it's just a different quality. It doesn't have that kind of indie spirit that you get in the Silver Lake Echo Park area.
Yeah.
For sure.
Kind of a DIY spirit in a way that's acceptable.
Do you guys ever break down and just do like acoustic, you know, thing? Like, because a lot of times now they have a lot of venues, even the bigger venues are doing this. They're like, oh, we have a closet. If we just move this broom, we can put some new band in there. You know, like, whereas like they have some small space that they put a band in. Do you guys ever do that as well?
No, we haven't. This is our first time playing in this little configuration right now. Where we have played, you know, the alternate lounge, for example, that kind of like second stage, you know. Yeah, always electric, and I don't know. What do you think? Do you think we should? Or
I think you could. It does seem to come naturally to you guys. So,
thanks.
Well, let's see. Maybe I'm totally off. You guys want to do another song?
Sure. Let's test our hypothesis.
Myspace.com/thefrenchsemester on Is Good.
Song's called Clinically Speaking. It's about something. I don't remember what it is right now.
Where the things, the separate things we are appealing to now that it's the spring of our life. The spring of our lifetime. Where the things, the separate things we are. all doing fine. Better yet, we were something else. We were doing something else. With all that surplus hard information, you the wiser, your wife slept alone at night. Halfway home with a little more at the end. Think about all we did. We're the things, the separate things we are appealing to now that it's the spring of our life, the spring of our lifetime. We were something else, we were doing something else. With all that surplus hard information, you the wiser, you wise, slept alone at night. Halfway home with a little more at the end. Think about all we did. Halfway home with a little more at the end. Think about where we.
You're listening to Is Good. My guess is the French semester. When are you guys playing next?
We're starting a little a residency at Mr. T's in June.
Oh, cool.
We're calling it a symposium instead of a residency.
What's the difference?
We just hear the word residency so much, and it sounds like something so big and all that. We're trying to diffuse it, but I think we may have actually
made it big. Symposium sounds more important.
I know.
Yeah.
But we did like the idea of exchanging ideas. I mean,
So you're just playing there once a week for a month, is that what that means?
Yeah, Mondays in June. but I don't know, the emphasis is really on like playing with bands that we think we can learn from and you know, kind of like that. Also, the meaning of symposium traditionally was actually a drinking party in antiquity, so
nice.
That helps too.
So has that been something you guys have sort of had to rely on? You know, it's easy to get lost in this indie scene, like finding bands that you have a camaraderie with. Maybe it's not the same sound, but you know, a similar approach to music that you can, you know, you can play with and learn from.
There's actually a lot of good bands out there, you know, that we've played with and that are not necessarily, you know, are good at songwriting, but are nice people, and we get along with them really well, and that makes a huge difference, you know, because played with other bands where they're maybe not as friendly, you know, but they sound great, but, you know, you're less inclined to talk to them, you know. So, I mean,
that's been surprising. How friendly everyone is.
Like, just the personalities is a big factor in who we play with.
So all your friends' bands suck? Is that what you're saying?
But we're too polite to say it, no.
No, they're all really good. I think, like, on top of it, they're nice people, and that just adds that much more, you know, to it. Fact that they are cool people and they write good stuff.
Do you think sort of being in a good, like in a good mood and a good frame of mind is really important for a live act? I notice a lot of venues that don't put a lot of attention into like how they book the night, aren't considering that, you know, bands are actually hanging out at that club before they go on, and if they have to sit through, you know, primitive sludge death metal before they go do their acoustic folk song, it doesn't put them in the right mood. So it's sort of like hanging out with bands that you get along with, like even just on a social level, do you think that improves your performance even?
You want to answer, Go?
Well, an example is we played a show not too long ago with a death metal band, actually, and some other style bands. And, you know, the guys in the death metal, I don't know if it's death metal or metal. But those guys were really cool to us, and they stuck around, and they saw us play. They were dancing, and they really loved our stuff. And that was like...
Yeah,
you know.
So it may not even be a genre thing, but it's
just a personality thing, right. A vibe.
Yeah, it's just that is like overpowers a lot of the fact that maybe I don't listen to death metal, but I'm willing to if, you know, you're that cool, you know.
And they were really dancing, nice. Man. Yeah, they were totally really, you know, like, you know, bebopping in the front or whatever.
That's really appreciate that kind of, you know.
I think they call it moshing.
We know what that looks like, and that was not that. They were definitely like twirling. I don't know.
Oh,
twirling.
They were doing pas de bourrées and plies.
Yeah.
Let's. So, residency symposium every Monday in June at Mr. T's.
That's right, and also on the Rocks above the Roxy, July I think 18th it is. That's an important one if people feel like.
And our tour, you wanted to mention.
In August, we'll be on tour in the Northwest up through Portland and Seattle.
Is that your first tour? Is that your first sort of?
Yeah, it's our first real trip. We played in SF before, but just a one off. So this is our first tour.
Yeah, we went up to SF with to play with the Visadero.
Oh, cool. Yeah, they've been on the show. They're awesome.
They're good friends of ours. That was the only time we really left LA, huh?
Yeah.
Did you get a sense from that one experience that it was something different to play for a San Francisco crowd than an LA crowd?
Yeah, although crowd is definitely,
overstating
it. Yeah, very generous, but no, it's definitely different up there. We like it up there. I think, just the city and the town fits us kind of well, but it is like what do you call it? You lose the hometown advantage a little bit too. So
yeah. All right, let's sign off with one more track from the CD. What do you recommend?
Sure, man. Let's do a Singularity. That should be 10, I think.
Yes.
We number the tracks.
It's fantastic. This will be available from download tonight or tomorrow from myspace.com/thisisgood. This episode will also be integrated into the French semester's profile on isgoodmusic.com beta, which you can check out now as we're getting all the bands signed up for that. In the meantime, myspace.com/thefrenchsemester. Their album is Open Letter to the Disappeared. Guys, thanks so much for coming and hanging out on Is Good.
Thanks.
Thank you, John.
Best of luck to you. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org.
We are four cloudy summer salt of the earth. Came from the ocean, go back to the ocean again. Drops again.